You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
The Punt, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast.
Hello everyone, a warm welcome along to the Punt Podcast here with William Hill, focusing on top flight football action. And this midweek we've got a heck of a lot of it as well. We've got European football from the Champions League and the Europa League, and we have the second round of the EFL Cup with the Premier League side in action this midweek. My name is Dave Kellner. I'm joined by Tom Kerwin to preview the televised fixtures this midweek. First of all, a warm welcome. A good afternoon to you, Tom.
Would say a warm welcome, Dave, but not to be typically British and talk about the weather. It's been anything but warm for August, has it not? This is probably the worst weather-wise start to the season, but we had some winning bets at the weekend, so that's all that matters.
As people that listen to the podcast at the weekend will know as well, Tom, I was in Edinburgh last week, and I think it was the first time they've had three uninterrupted days of pure sunshine in Edinburgh in history while I was there, so I was very, very fortunate. Unfortunately, my luck didn't run over onto the podcast, because the nap last week was Liverpool to win and both teams to score. Couldn't have got that much more wrong, in all honesty.
No, but all the stats were with you except the one that mattered. I've never seen anything like that game. 20% possession. Some people were trying to make out like it was 2%, but just remarkable. And you know, we've had two, I would say, from the two opening rounds of the Premier League, we've had two shocking scorelines, really, that Leicester losing at Hull. Of course, we backed it up with another win at the weekend. And yeah. And that Liverpool one, I mean, I was with you on that all the way, Dave. I'd seen how they demolished Arsenal. But I think that is Liverpool. You know, we talked about it before the season started, didn't we? We looked at Liverpool and thought, you don't know what you're going to get. So they can be brilliant at the Emirates and awful at Turf Moor.
They can. Let's see what they're going to do midweek, because that's one of the televised games. And we'll come on to that in due course. But we'll start with the European football first. And Celtic in action on Tuesday night against Hapoel Be'er Sheva. And Hapoel are 6-4 to win the game in 90 minutes. The draw 11-5 with Celtic in the betting at 19-10. The enhanced odds here, Mayor Melikson to score and Hapoel to win in 90 minutes was 15-4, now 5-1. And Lee Griffith to score and Celtic to win in 90 minutes was 14-5. That's been enhanced to 4-1. It looks like Celtic are going through here, Tom, because they lead 5-2. On aggregate after the first leg. They missed out to Maribor and Malmo during Ronnie Dalia's reign. But with the arrival of Brendan Rodgers, it seems like he's going to adopt that cavalier style that he had at Liverpool, and scoring goals but conceding goals, Celtic.
Well, that's been the story of their season. You know, I always get a feeling, particularly in England, there's a large proportion of people, I think, want Brendan Rodgers to fail. And I don't really understand why. I've never really got it, but I think there was a lot of joy, particularly when they were struggling against the Lincoln Red Imps. There seemed to be a lot of excitement on Twitter when that happened. But since then, you know, their form's been really good, Celtic. They've been scoring goals. I mean, they thumped Motherwell 5-0. You know, they scored five, of course, in the first leg of this. They scored four against St Johnstone on Saturday in a 4-2 win. So overall, the form's been decent. They're winning matches. I don't know, when I look at games like this, regardless of who's playing, whatever country they're playing, when you see a first leg scoreline like this, you wonder how it's going to sort of play out. Do Be'er Sheva here think they've got absolutely no chance? Well, I don't think they will. They're at home. You know, they've never been in the Europa League. So this is a good season for them regardless. And they got back to winning ways at the weekend. They won in the league as well, 2-1 at home. So they're just going to go for it, aren't they? And I think from a punting point of view, that opens the game absolutely right out. You've got to look at Celtic, get 18 goals in their last three competitive matches. Be'er Sheva have had no clean sheet in their last five games. The pressure is off almost both sides. I mean, Celtic, unless they absolutely implode, they're going through, aren't they? So for Be'er Sheva, they've just got to go for it. So for me, this is all about playing goals. I don't think you could look at this and think, you know, Celtic are definitely going to go there and win, because they don't need to. And that is the concern for me. At 19-10, you've got to think, with the travelling that the team are going to have to do, Brendan Rodgers will make changes to his side. You know, they were 3-0 up at half-time in the first leg here. They've won all but one of their seven competitive matches. So I can understand people looking at Celtic at 19-10 and thinking, yep, they'll win this game. But I'm always wary. Psychologically, it doesn't matter what, you know, how they go out and approach this. Psychologically, they know they're pretty much there, aren't they? So, and they'll be good enough to score. So, you know, I will be looking certainly at overs on the goals and both teams to score, because I think Be'er Sheva will obviously fly out of the traps if they're capable of doing that.
If you're looking at over 2.5 goals, that's available at 4-6 here with William Hill. Over 3.5 goals available at 2-1. And you mentioned that you think that some people want Brendan Rodgers to fail. I honestly think that's down to the elective surgery he's had. The teeth being whitened, all that time spent in the tanning salon. I don't think we like vanity, Tom.
No, and I must say, you know, Joey Barton this week, didn't he? He called. He said to Brendan Rodgers that he's kind of having a midlife crisis. I think that's how he described him. So I couldn't help but chuckle at that. I ignore a lot of what Joey Barton says a lot of the time, but every now and then he comes out with a nugget, and that certainly was. Yeah, I think it's just because. Maybe the way it comes across, you know.
He's improving himself, Tom. We don't like that sort of thing.
No, we don't like that. We don't like someone who's prepared to, you know, get back on the saddle and, you know, prove everybody wrong. And actually, there's quite a lot of pressure on him this season at Celtic. I mean, there's, you know, I know some Celtic fans, Dave, and they say the last few years it's the worst Celtic team they've ever seen. And we're talking season ticket holders of 30 years plus at Celtic. So, you know, all is not well, particularly with Rangers on their coattails. So, you know, Celtic, there is pressure on them, obviously, in every single game. So, it's just his approach. I think he'll try and be clever in this game somehow, be it his team selection, how they approach it. Maybe he'll go for early goals, but I can only see it being wide open. These kind of matches, it doesn't matter, like I say, whatever teams are playing in Europe during the course of the season, if I see a really healthy sort of first leg lead, I'm always just prone to look at it being a wide open match because Beersheba can go for it. I mean, they do have those, you know, the two away goals, don't they?
Yeah.
But I mean, obviously, they've still got to score three at Celtic Park, which is going to be... no mean feat considering the caliber of opposition. Certainly better teams at Celtic have played already this season and have not really given them a sniff.
Just on Rodgers, did you think he's a top class manager, or do you think that year when Liverpool so nearly won the title, was it all down to Luis Suarez, or was Rodgers inspired that season?
I don't think he's kind of had a Steve McClaren moment, or there's a number of guys I could probably use as examples, but I would never forgive him for Crystal Palace and not just shutting up shop in that game. I mean, that was the match for me where Liverpool threw it away. So, yeah, there's no doubt he was blessed with amazing players. But I just think tactically he would look back on that game and think, just shut up shop. You know, as soon as they'd had the lead, you know, just dig it out, and the title probably would have been theirs. So the mental scars of that are absolutely huge for him. But he's, you know, he's already proved people wrong once or twice, because remember, you know, at Reading it didn't work out for him, and his career was kind of bobbling around, not really doing a lot. He was trying to get out the shadow of being at Chelsea, really, and make his name for himself, and he did that at Swansea. I mean, you might look at it and think Swansea inherited you know, a great system and a great set of players that knew what they were doing, and he maybe took it on another level. Liverpool, yeah, you can look at that. I mean, you can discredit probably any manager if you try hard enough and look at their record. But, you know, at Celtic, there's no question this is a massive job. I mean, people might look at it from the outside, and I'm no expert on Celtic and the nuances of the Scottish League this year, but people might look and think, oh, yeah, it's an easy job, they're going to win every game. It is not like that anymore for Celtic. There's a real challenge on for them this year, but he cannot... You know, this is an absolute banana skin, isn't it, in some ways? Because if Beersheba here get an early goal, you know those Celtic players are going to be rattled, and it'll be a real test of character. So an interesting match. But I think you're looking at it, so the start the home side are going to make here, you know, as I say, if there isn't at least three goals in the game, I'll be surprised. And if there isn't two in the first half again, I'd be pretty surprised about that.
On to Wednesday night, we've got Manchester City versus Steaua Bucharest, and Manchester City 1-5. To win the match. The draw 5-1. Steaua Bucharest are in the betting at 16-1. Enhanced odds, Kelechi Iheanacho to score and Man City to win was 7-10, enhanced to even money. And Nicolai Stanciu to score and Steaua Bucharest to win in 90 minutes was 28-1, enhanced to 40-1. I was convinced prior to the Euros, Tom, that Nicolai Stanciu was going to have an incredible tournament and be Romanian top scorer, never materialised, and he's there. It's as if they're pointing fun at me with him being part of the enhanced odds offer here at 40-1. But you'd be amazed if Steaua Bucharest, even though Manchester City don't need to win this game, if the Romanian side go to the Etihad and get a result, because they were hammered in that first leg, beaten 5-0. Aguero missed a couple of penalties, still scored a hat-trick. And there's no doubt about it, Man City are settling into Pep Guardiola's style of play. They're keeping possession well, they're scoring plenty of goals.
They're scoring plenty. You know, the signs are definitely there for him and what he's doing. But that was like a pre-season you know, game against some minnows against Steaua Bucharest last week. I could not believe how easy it was. It's almost not worth the cost to Steaua Bucharest to even fulfil this fixture, is it? I mean, it's almost not worth it when they take in the hotel and then the flights and everything else. They probably just think, well, there's just no point. Because, you know, to say it's an uphill challenge would be an understatement. They've got absolutely no chance. And I think they've probably got no chance of scoring. The only thing, of course, is what team Manchester City play. They do have a squad capable of making 5-6 changes, you know, without causing major problems to them. And I like the headline offered. I like Iheanacho. I mean, I think Aguero will be the one that I think he'd look to rest. I mean, there's no question he's in incredible form. There's no reason to give him any more game time than he needs. I think they'll have him on the bench as insurance. But I think Iheanacho, he's a player I really, really like. And instantly Pep likes him because, you know, he got a whopping new contract the other week. He's 3-1 to score two or more in this game. Chances are going to be there. And I think what Man City have got to do, and Man City fans might correct me on this, but they've still got to sort of fire the imagination of the Champions League. We've all seen the games they've had in recent years at home. And I know this is a qualifying match, but, you know, they've played some big teams. It's still not lit the touch paper, has it? It just doesn't feel like the Etihad is rocking for these games. I think there's still a proportion of Man City fans who feel that they want to dominate the league a little bit more, that actually maybe the European side of things is maybe almost coming too soon. But they've been there for many years now, and that's where Pep's going to be targeting, of course, big success this year. I mean, he would be expected semi-finals at the very least. So there's obviously no question they're going to get through. It would be the, you know, a miracle of all miracles if Steaua Bucharest even score a goal. So I like the enhanced offer of Iheanacho, but I think 2 or more at 3-1. I just think they're going to have loads of chances. I mean, they hit 4 at Stoke in the weekend. They didn't actually probably play that well. The scoreline was a bit harsh on Stoke, I thought, but, you know, they're absolutely clinical, aren't they? There's goal threats all over the place. So I think what Pep will do is he'll use this as a continuation of that kind of football education for his side. So he will take it incredibly seriously. I was reading a German journalist at the weekend writing sort of his appraisal of Pep Guardiola, and everybody's got something to say about him, haven't they? But just how intense he was last year for Bayern Munich, the kind of dossiers he had on, you know, whatever it was, the German Cup, the early rounds of that, you know, even if it's third tier opposition he was coming up against, he was so thorough. And I think he'll be the same for this. And I think that's just how he operates every single match. So don't there be any chance for him making 10 changes and just seeing what happens. I think he'll want to see his players sort of, you know, keep going on this, as I say, this football education that I think he's trying to bring towards them. So again, you've got to be looking at goals. I do understand that people look at a match like this when it's over, you think, well, these games are normally a bit flat. But I just think with Man City being at home and the players looking to prove their point, you know, I still think there'll be a lot of chance. And this Steaua side come with not even a glimmer of hope, do they?
No, they don't. And this is going to sound silly. Sillier than maybe anything I've ever said on the podcast, Tom. But I sometimes feel it's a shame that Manchester City, at this moment, have Sergio Aguero, because we're only getting to see glimpses fleetingly of Kelechi Iheanacho. Mm. And every time I see him, I think, wow, this guy is going to be world class. He came on at the weekend and he showed composure and poise beyond his years to set up Nolito for that final City goal at the weekend. He looks absolutely outstanding. I'm definitely with you. I love the enhanced odds offer. And people might turn their noses up at that even money, Iheanacho to score and City to win. But if he plays, I think he'll definitely get on the score sheet. I think he's that good. We saw it last season in the League Cup against Southampton, where he scored 3 times and they won 6-1.
Yeah.
He is a player with immense ability.
Huge, huge talent, and he's going to get chances. And actually, is, you know, for a younger striker, you know, his chance conversion rate is incredibly impressive. You know, especially when he's played in a team that creates a lot of chances. You know, and he's on the end of them. His link up play is very good. But I think he is an out-and-out finisher as well. I think he'll really want to sort of grasp this opportunity in this game. And like I say, I think Man City, if they get an early goal, the Steaua players then, that is it. I mean, they're completely done. They're done anyway. They know that, you know, travelling over whenever it is early this week. But I just think they're going to be probably thinking psychologically for them. You just can't get yourself going, could you? You know, if they concede in the first 50 minutes, first half an hour of that game, that is it. They are done. And I think Man City they'll be able to almost jog through the game and, as I say, create chance. And that's why when I'm looking at a player and I'm looking at that 2 or more market, you know, I look at that market a lot in teams of Man City's calibre with strikers that are possibly going to be out-and-out strikers. I mean, he might get that nod, you know, right up front in this game. you just got to think of the chances created. And I think if he gets four chances, five chances, top players will easily tuck away two of them. So it's kind of how I think about that. And although with Zlatan Ibrahimovic, he needs two chances to tuck two away, doesn't he? So I just think it's great. I think either or, you'd be looking at that 3-1 for him to score two or more. But I won't get too carried away with that. I don't think we're going to see another 4 or 5-0. But I tell you what, if Man City score early, there's a potential for that to be on the cards. But it's just these games never really play out like that.
Yeah. On to Thursday night then, Tom. We've got West Ham versus Astra Giurgiu in the Europa League. And West Ham are 2-5 to win this match. The draw 7-2. Astra in the betting at 7-1. Enhanced odds, Ashley Fletcher to score and West Ham to win is 6-4. Dennis Alabek to score and Astra to win in the 90 minutes again was 11-1. Enhanced to 16-1. Mikel Antonio got the last ever goal at the Bolin Ground in the Premier League at the end of last season, and he's got the first ever goal in the Premier League at the Olympic Stadium because he scored the winner against Bournemouth on Sunday afternoon, and he might be needed again here because West Ham have been hit hard by injury. Andy Carroll's out for up to 6 weeks, Aaron Cresswell out for 3 months with that knee problem. We still haven't seen Sofiane Fagouli in action. Dimitri Payet didn't play against Bournemouth at the weekend. Manuel Lanzini nearing his comeback, but we're still waiting for him, and he looked fantastic at the end of last season. It's a game they should be winning, West Ham against Astra, who haven't started their domestic season particularly well. 5 games into that campaign, and they've only picked up 4 points, and they were hammered at the weekend as well, but West Ham are just suffering from a personnel perspective at the moment.
They are, and I think that they're probably suffering because of that, but also, I talked about maybe having second season syndrome. People talk about Bournemouth like that, but I think when you have a season as good as they had last year, and without Payet for these opening matches, I think you're going to suffer a little bit of a crisis of confidence, really, and then they're not going to settle in well. I mean, into the new stadium, Dave, I think that's pretty clear from Sunday's game, which was not a good performance. I think they were probably fortunate in the end to get the 3 points, but I think that pitch is big. I think the atmosphere just isn't there, and that is going to take time. And I think reading about it, there's only sort of Derby County when they moved into what was then Pride Park from the baseball ground. I think they're one of the only teams that have actually had a better season in their new surroundings. Southampton, Arsenal, and other teams, Reading, I think, have struggled when they move into new stadiums. And I think it's going to be a big factor. I mean, people were talking about the pitch being big, and it is a lot bigger.
Four metres wider, I think they said.
That is a big, big difference for any football team, particularly when they've been used to their surroundings. I know psychologically, just when you look at the pitch on the TV, because the stadium's so big, it looks bigger. But I think that's just going to take time for the players to get used to in the match. It was an effort. It's an effort for both sets of players. And I don't know, I think the club at the moment's got a bit of a weary look about it. I think they are feeling sorry for themselves. I think Slaven Bilic, he kind of carries himself. He's always a bit, he always looks a bit, sort of he's at the end of a wedding or something. Sort of like... 1 a.m. in the morning, and he's just sung New York, New York. He always looks a bit like. But someone said to me, he's had a bad back, and I think that was causing him pain because he looked so tired, in his pre-match interview on Sunday.
He does.
He looked dishevelled. He just looked like it taken out of him, and maybe that was the travelling or not. But I just think they're feeling a bit sorry for themselves, West Ham. I think you're getting injured, almost straight away. Carroll, they've put a lot of hope on him because he was scoring goals in pre-season, which is why I put him in my fantasy team, and I've regretted that straight away. So they should win this game, and I think what's interesting with this one is, of course, Astra getting thumped at the weekend at CFR Cluj. I mean, that is a real hammering on Sunday ahead of what is a game, of course, that they have to score in because it's 1-1 from the first leg. And if anything summed up the injury problems, it's probably the fact that the enhanced odds are Ashley Fletcher to score and West Ham to win. I mean, he was rumoured last week to be heading back out on loan to a Championship side. There are a few clubs I know were interested in him, but all of a sudden he's moved right up through the pecking order. I don't think, the last I heard was that Dimitri Payet won't be risked even in this game. They might have to have him on the bench, but I think they'll be preparing him for the weekend. So I don't know. I mean, I think Astra are a big price here to win the game. I really do. I know that they're not coming into it in any kind of nick, and West Ham should win, and they've still got players to go and do it. 7-1. I just think West Ham are short. I think it's going to be an edgy victory. I think they do get over the line. Maybe I'm trying to look for something that's not there. But if they do, I think it'll be like Sunday, Dave. I think you may be looking at a 1-0, but certainly a West Ham win and unders here.
Yeah, I like under 2.5 goals here. It's odds against under 2.5 goals at 11-10. I think you're right about Slaven Bilic as well. I mean, he looks like a completely different man to the man we saw at the end of last season. Less energised and less responsive to a certain extent. And it is going to be tough moving from the bowling ground to the Olympic Stadium. And my dad had a ticket for the match of the weekend but couldn't go in the end. And he was saying that he'd spoken to a couple of people in the crowd in the stadium, and they said it was like watching Sabutio out there. Yeah. there's that much distance between the pitch and the actual fans and the crowd, and those seats do move forward slightly, but you've still got that running track around the stadium, around the pitch, and it's going to be a different atmosphere to the one that enlivened the bowling ground at the back end of last season.
I think there was one moment where West Ham had a chance and you could kind of hear the place sort of, I think it's going to take time, is it? But some fans didn't even have seats at the weekend. There was just a concrete slab when they arrived at where they were meant to be sat, and the seats hadn't even been put in. So it's just going to take time. I mean, all the build-up was about this new ground at the weekend, and they've got to settle into it. But that's up to the players to go out there and perform. I mean, you know, the fans are coming. It's a new experience for them. And they've got to try and make it hostile. I do think it might well suit Astra, the fact that this isn't, you know, the bowling ground. I think it would have been there. You know, I would have thought differently about it. And from a betting point of view, you are taking it. I mean, you shouldn't really. I mean, all right, it's a bigger pitch, but it's still a football pitch, isn't it? You're still looking at West Ham's players and thinking, you know, they should get this job done. They should beat Bournemouth at the weekend. But when you're analysing it and you're thinking about where you want to put your money on, that stadium is coming into play. There's no question. Mm. So it is going to take a little bit of time. But I think just those nerves are still there, and the more it's kind of talked about, the more edgy it's going to be for West Ham. So that's what I can see on Thursday night. I can see them getting through, winning the game, but it being far from convincing again. They've got to not feel sorry for themselves with the players they got missing. You know, the other players have got to step up and do the business.
Let's look at the League Cup then, Tom, this midweek, and two matches televised, a whole host of matches on Tuesday night. And we'll start with the televised game, Burton Albion versus Liverpool. And Burton are 7-1 to win the match. The draw 7-2. Liverpool in the betting at 2-5. Enhanced odds, Chris O'Grady to score and Burton to win was 12-1. Enhanced to 16s. And Divock Origi to score and Liverpool to win was 11-10. Now 6-4. If you're new to this competition, it's just the League Cup, basically. It's been rebranded as the EFL Cup. And the Premier League team's coming in to the competition at this stage. And interesting match this, Burton-Liverpool, because Burton are one of the success stories in English football over the last couple of seasons. Successive promotions from League 2 to League 1 and now League 1 to the Championship. And they've not had a terrible start to their campaign either, having secured promotion. They were beaten by Bristol City 2-1, but beat Sheffield Wednesday 3-1, drew away at Blackburn 2-2. So the last couple of weeks have been pretty decent for Burton Albion, and it's some story for them.
It's incredible. I mean, I remember going to the Pirelli Stadium many years ago. I was watching a Conference North playoff final, and you know, I can't remember what division Burton were in, but it is, you know, it's a ground and a club that has always thought its level is, you know, the fourth, maybe even third division if they have a, you know, good time of it. But to reach the Championship's been incredible, and you know, Jimmy Ford Hasselbank will take a huge amount of credit for that. But Nigel Clough, of course, got the ball rolling, and he's back there now. And what I've been impressed with at the start of their season in the Championship is obviously everyone has them, you know, to go down because of their budget. They're a bit like Yeovil maybe a few years ago when they were in the Championship for a season. But they're scoring goals, Dave. They're conceding goals as well. But I think if you come up and you've got that bit of swagger in front of goal, I think you give yourself a chance. You know, Bristol City had it last year. They were winning games 4-1, 4-2. They'd lose games as well, 3-1. But because they were scoring, it just gave themselves a chance. There's been 23 goals in their opening five matches. So, you know, in their games, it's nearly five a match. And it kicked off with that 4-3 defeat at Forest on the opening day, and they were very close to getting a result there. So they'll be full of confidence. And what I would look when you weigh this up is Liverpool have been brought back down to earth in Lancashire at the weekend, no doubt about that. What's Jurgen Klopp going to do with his team? Last year, you remember in the Cup, in the FA Cup at Exeter, he made loads of changes. I mean, you know, there were kids that didn't even have squad numbers that were suddenly, you know, in the team, and, you know, very talented youngsters that they have at Liverpool. But I don't know whether he'll be brave enough to make those kind of changes in this kind of match. I still think there's players sort of jockeying for positions in that team. And when I look at, you know, I'll go through this with a few of the League Cup sides. I think it's the same for Everton and a few of the teams in the Premier League. I always think back to the summer meeting that the manager will have had with the board, the owners, and they will have laid down, you know, we've all played Football Manager, we know how it works, but they'll all laid down targets, you know, and this happens at every football club, where you know, minimum finishing place in the league, and the cup competitions, they will all agree on what's fair. I'd be surprised if Liverpool haven't said to Jurgen Klopp, top four and a cup, top four and some silverware. I think that's what he's got to probably deliver again this season. So, you know, I think they'll be wary of a potential slip up here. And I think they'll want to go out and prove a few doubters wrong that maybe suggest that they're not clinical enough, that maybe they don't have that firepower. The problem they have, Dave, is they can't defend.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter who they change tomorrow, Burton will fancy their chances of scoring. And I think they'll be saying amongst themselves, the Albion players, we can get at this Liverpool team and we can score goals. And it's a tight old stadium. The dressing room, I mean, I've been in the dressing rooms down there. They're pokey. They're not going to be what the Liverpool players are used to. So I think it's going to have a real cup-tie atmosphere, throw into the fact that it's on the telly. And Burton will fancy their chances. I mean, I don't think they win the game. But could I look at the draw knowing that they're going to score? Maybe at 7-2. I think Liverpool are obviously short at 2-5, depending on the team that they're going to play, which players will be rested. There's a lot kind of in the air in this one. I think that's why, again, you're going to be safe and probably looking at goals here. And both teams to score and over 2.5 goals at 23-20. I think that's where I would head. But I certainly think Burton, I think most teams would look at Liverpool and think, yeah, we can get a goal here. But what I would say to counteract that, Dave, quickly, is if Burton have 20% possession in this game, they'll lose.
Yeah.
They've got to have a little bit more of the ball than Burnley.
Yeah, no, I agree. When I was playing Championship Manager, by the way, the expectation was that low, Tom. At the start of the season, the chairman just said, just win a couple of games, will you, this
really?
Season. That's how bad I am on Championship Manager.
Well, I resigned before the season started, one year, because they expected me to win the league. I thought, on that budget, no chance.
Prior to this game as well, when I was looking through this Burton-Albion-Liverpool match, I read an article in the Burton Post, which I didn't know existed. But they were saying this is probably the second biggest match in the club's history. After that Manchester United FA Cup clash back in 2006, but interestingly enough, they drew that first leg in at the Pirelli 0-0 before being beaten 5-0 at Old Trafford, and I just get the feeling that they will seriously fancy this against Liverpool. I can see this ending. I'm not sure, because it's one leg, I'm not sure whether they actually go through, but I can see them getting a draw after 90 minutes here.
Yeah, I think it's because I fancy them to score. I mean, you know, I talked about Liverpool's defensive record, but Burton are hardly great either. I mean,
no.
You know, they've been in front in matches as well and not managed to shut up shop, but they got a late equaliser at Blackburn. That game looked to be heading away from them at the weekend, and Blackburn were looking for their first win. They scored with 2 minutes to go. And again, I think that will give them a huge lift, really. I don't know, I mean... I've watched Liverpool sort of navigate the cups pretty successful last year, but I think they made hard work for themselves as well at times. So, you know, again, there's a lot of goals in their matches. So I'm with you, Dave. There's no reason why Burton cannot hold them. But again, Liverpool are going to score in this game. There's too much firepower, even if they make changes. And Burton's defensive record against poor Championship sides is not great. So Liverpool will score. The question you've got to ask yourself is can Burton do it? I think they can against this Liverpool defence. Can they score more than one? That would be where I would be concerned. If they get the first goal, very much game on.
It's interesting you noted that you we're not sure how Jurgen Klopp's going to approach this match. He does have a pretty rich history in cup competitions generally. In his last four seasons at Borussia Dortmund, made the German Cup final on three occasions, winning it back in 2012. And we mustn't forget that last season took Liverpool to the final of the League Cup as well. So I think without the European distraction this season, that there's the possibility that he might focus on one of these cups. And as you mentioned at the top of this preview, look to get silverware for Liverpool.
Yeah, and you kind of look at that run last year, David. I'm looking at the results in front of me here. You know, the first game was against Carlisle. Remember, that went to penalties at Anfield. It was 1-1, you know, after normal time, after extra time as well. They beat Bournemouth 1-0. They thumped Southampton in probably one of the best performances of the season, and that's 6-1. But then it was 1-0 against Stoke, you know, in the first leg of the semi. Then, you know, they got through eventually on penalties. And in that game against Stoke, they started off brilliantly and then for some reason scored and then just sat back. It was strange, really. So they were actually a lot tighter. I mean, you know, apart from take that 6-1 out of it, every other game, the most amount of goals they had was two in them. So, you know, maybe he navigates the cup a little bit differently. I just think he'll... I wouldn't say that there's not pressure. Obviously, there's not pressure on Liverpool, but I do think when you lose a game as they'd lost on Saturday, there is immediate focus on them because they're on the TV as well for them to bounce back and see how they respond. So, yeah. Again, I think he's still sussing out his players. He's not there yet, Jurgen Klopp. He doesn't have the squad that he wants fully. I think he's been shown, and I think he spoke about it, a little bit of frustration in the transfer market about who he'd want. He's done some great deals to get rid of players, but I think he's still looking at his players. He's looking them in the eye and saying, right, who's going to be with me? And these are the kind of tests. I think Pep Guardiola's similar. These are the kind of tests. Who's going to go out there, perform, be professional, get it done, and who's going to not take their opportunity? So, you know, there'll be quite a lot of onus. The pressure's on Liverpool. All the pressure is on Liverpool in this one.
Accrington Stanley versus Burnley, the last of the televised games we're going to look at on this podcast. And this is Wednesday, 7:45. Accrington 4-1 to win the game. The draw 5-2 with Burnley in the betting at 3-4. Not the start that Accrington were looking for in League Two, Tom. Picked up just 4 points from their opening four games, languishing in 18th in the league. And this run comes on the back of an opening day win against Doncaster Rovers, won that game 3-2. Particularly disappointing result last weekend at home to Exeter, who had lost all three of their matches before winning at Accrington. So this comes at a bad time for Accrington Stanley.
Yeah, it does. I mean, if you're looking at teams from the lower divisions, the first thing you want to see is you want to see that team in the division below or two below in some kind of form. And they're not really in it. The only thing that will cling to Accrington is their home form generally is very strong. And it was last season. It's where they pick up the majority of their points. They draw a lot of games at probably one of my favourite name stadiums as well, the Wham Stadium. I don't know if it's named after the sweet bar that I used to enjoy as a kid. I'm not sure, but or the pop band. But there we go. So they've picked up a lot of points. And this is a real, real derby. I mean, you know, anyone who knows that neck of the woods in Lancashire, you know, Blackburn, Bolton, Burnley, Preston, Blackpool, and Accrington are very much in that, and they will be absolutely desperate to get one over on Burnley. And again, you shift your focus to the Premier League side, and you think, all right, well, what are you going to do with your team? You know, you're going to rest Vokes and Gray. You know, you're going to rest your basically your main source of goals. You're going to try and keep them going because they were really effective, of course, against Liverpool. Sam Vokes scored a great goal, and I think with Burnley and Sean Dyche, he's the kind of manager who's I think he's more loath to experiment. Really, he knows his strongest 11. It's very clear what that is. And I think he'll want to sort of keep that going. He will make changes. But with the international break round the corner, I don't think it's as essential for him. And I think he would be very keen to avoid the embarrassment of getting knocked out by their local rival. So again, this is a game that's going to be played in front of a hostile crowd. It's one of the biggest games Accrington have had for quite a few years. But Burnley arrived there, thankfully for them, with confidence after that victory of Liverpool, because it was a big blow for them to lose to Swansea. They would have accepted 3 points from those opening two home games. They've just got picked them up the wrong way around, I think, for that most fans would predict. So, I don't see Sean Dyche making loads of change in this. And I mean, Jukovic is the enhanced odds offer because I think our compilers will think that Gray and Vokes have probably both got a chance of being on the bench, and Barnes and Jukovic, who are the reserve strikers, will get their opportunity. So, I think he'll be very, very thorough in this, Sean Dyche. He has in recent years not necessarily placed a huge amount of onus on the League Cup for obvious reasons. Even last season as they were getting promoted, you know, they were thoroughly professional against Preston in another sort of local game back in 2013 when Sean Dyche was at Burnley, and they've kind of tended to in recent years almost fall at almost the first hurdle. Really, they were beaten by Sheffield Wednesday, they were beaten by Port Vale last year away from home, because the focus was promotion. I just wonder whether Sean Dyche might look at it different and think about, you know, sort of that momentum and that confidence continuing after Saturday. But it's a fine balancing act. I think it's a real tough one for managers going into these League Cup matches. Not so much for the Premier League sides, more for the managers of Championship clubs with promotion on their agenda, which is why I think Sean Dyche has just kind of got out of these competitions as quick as possible. His approach might be a little bit different. But what you've got to throw into this one is, of course, it's the atmosphere. There is the derby element to it, which you can't underestimate. And although Accrington Stanley haven't been winning many matches, they haven't had the start that they would have liked. They have been scoring goals, and particularly in the league. It's not been too bad for them. I know two defeats and a draw in their last three matches, but they've scored in two of those. Two of them were away from home, but the defeat to Exeter on Saturday will obviously be a blow to them. But I don't know with this one again. I would see goals. If Burnley aren't on it, Accrington will take full advantage. And of both games of the Burton-Liverpool game, Accrington-Burnley, if you want an outside bet, I would prefer my money to be on Accrington, albeit at a shorter price at 4-1 than Burton against Liverpool.
if you are looking at the goals in that game, over 2.5 goals maybe would be possibly your way in here, as you were mentioning. I'm just looking. We haven't. I can't see the goals line on the webpage at the moment. That will pop up prior to the match starting on Wednesday night. Just a quick word on Sean Dyche, because I find him a fascinating character. There's loads of quotes around from Sean Dyche. After the Liverpool match, he said, possession does not win a game. That myth came out a few years ago, that you needed possession to win games. Leicester proved last year that you don't. And he seems to be a man with incredible belief in his own ability, Tom. I think he manages with a chip on his shoulder as well, because he believes that the press have a misconception about him as a manager, while some foreign managers are heralded for their revolutionary processes in terms of tactics and dietary needs and requirements, etc., etc., etc. I feel that he thinks he doesn't get the credit he deserves, Dyche.
Do you know what? That comes from Watford, and when he was dispensed of after he was doing a good job at Watford, you know, when the takeover happened there by the Pozzo family, he was replaced. And again, we know the kind of road that, that they've gone down. And I think that's probably where it, I think it probably comes from. I think he felt he pleaded his case to the Watford owners that, you know, he should have been given a chance. They wanted to look in a different direction, as they're allowed to do. And yeah, I think so. I mean, I thought his tactics were pretty good on Saturday against Liverpool. You know, there was a time towards the end of the game where he could have brought another midfielder. He could have tried to, you know, stiffen things up in midfield, and he kept his two strikers on because I think he thought we could get another goal. And in the end, they were comfortable at the end of the match, despite the possession they didn't have. Look, he's a manager who just basically puts into his team an incredible work ethic into his squad, and that's what that's the story of their success. Yeah, they've signed well. You know, they've obviously got some good players, but what he's a master of is getting players and improving them. And making them feel $1 million. Sam Vokes is a good example, been a decent player down the leagues, but he's turned him into what looks like a player who could probably get double figures in the Premier League potentially this season. Scott Arfield's a great example as well. He was released by Huddersfield Town. They didn't want him. Sean Dyche snapped him up and, you know, has turned him into an international player and, you know, a key player for Burnley over the last few years. So I think there is a general chip on his shoulder, because I think they think with a, you know, with a team from the north, we're not glamorous, we don't have much of a budget, we've not spent fortunes on players, they've spent a lot on the infrastructure now. But his goal is obviously survival. I mean, I can't see them surviving in the Premier League despite the weekend's result. And that's where these cup matches and the League Cup this season, I think it only really plays into the hands of those Premier League middleweights. Those with other things on their mind, it's very difficult to give you full attention. However much he'll be ramming it home to his players ahead of this game, if they are off it, if they drop slightly, I don't think there's a huge gulf between Accrington, albeit in League Two, and Premier League Burnley.
Accrington Stanley versus Burnley, Wednesday night, televised game, 7:45. And Tom, we're going to finish this podcast with a treble in Tuesday's matches, treble in Wednesday's matches, because loads of matches on Tuesday night involving Premier League teams, and albeit just the five games in the League Cup on Wednesday night, you've come up with a treble on each of the two nights' action.
Yeah, I mean, obviously there's quite a few short-priced favourites in these games, obviously with the likes of Everton and Chelsea at home, but I'm not going to look too far away from them. I think Everton against Yeovil, Everton are the kind of team that I think Ronald Koeman, again, will have been told by the board, with the money that they've spent, the kind of turnaround and the frustration of the last few years, I think they would be expecting some silverware this year, or certainly to go very far. So I'm going to go for an Everton win there, and over 2.5 goals, 8-15. I think that is the kind of game that that Everton will get off to a flyer, and I think there's potential for goals for them at home against a Yeovil side who generally the club have been on a little bit of a downer at the moment. I'm going to go for a similar story with Chelsea as well against Bristol Rovers. I'm going to go for the same bet. I'm going to go for a Chelsea win and overs in that game, because again, I think with Chelsea and the kind of competition in the squad, I think they are, I think there's a lot of players looking to prove their point to Conte, and they don't really have the, you know, they're not worried about Europe down the line. They could probably have a good run in the League Cup, and it's not going to affect the league form too much. So I think they will probably make wholesale changes to the team. Batshuayi might well start, but they've got other players, young Solanke as well. Like Remy, there's still speculation about his future, but they've got more than enough firepower to get past the Bristol Rovers side, who their last seven away games in a League Cup, they've been beaten, so they don't travel particularly well. And then I'm going to look at Northampton West Brom, and some might look at West Brom at even money and think, yeah, that looks a pretty good price for a Premier League side against the Northampton side who you know, have maybe struggled to sort of get going after Chris Wilder left the club. They've maybe not had as much success on the field. But I'm gonna throw Northampton in here. I think if there's going to be an upset, I think that's where it's going to be at Six Fields. I really do. I can't be backing West Brom, Dave, to almost win any game of football. They didn't play that badly at the weekend, but if they make changes to their team, which I think they will, you know, I think there'll be changes. If they do, I think they'll struggle like they did last year. They lost at Norwich in the League Cup last year. Remember, they lost at Reading. They drew with Peterborough in the FA Cup. Their cup record, particularly away from home, was not good. And I think Tony Pulis, I don't know whether he'll mind not being in the competition. He'll obviously mind if they lose. But I just think when I look down those fixtures on Tuesday, I think that's where the potential upset could be. So I'm going to plump for Northampton to be the upset. And I'm going to go for Chelsea winning over 2.5 goals and an Everton winning over 2.5 goals at Goodison Park.
7.41-1, that treble on Tuesday night, which looks good. That's Everton and over 2.5, Chelsea and over 2.5, and Northampton to upset the apple cart against West Brom. 7.41-1. Wednesday night, Tom?
I'm going to keep this really simple. And I'm going to do a both teams to score treble here, Dave. I do think Fulham have got a chance. I think if we were looking for an upset on Wednesday, I think Fulham against Middlesbrough would be the one I'd look at 11-5. I've seen Fulham in the flesh this year, and they look very, very impressive. And I think Middlesbrough, again, I think they will make a lot of changes. I think Aita Karanka will think, well, the job's kind of done. We've done well, 4 points from the opening two games. Doesn't really matter about the League Cup. He'll make changes. I think Fulham will fancy that one. But I'm going to go for both teams to score treble. Accrington-Burnley, Sunderland-Shrewsbury as well. Again, Sunderland are a team I can't be backing. And I know Shrewsbury haven't had an amazing start to the season, but you know, you just think if Sunderland make changes, they're vulnerable at home. So I'm going both teams to score there. And also, Morecambe against Bournemouth, similar story. Morecambe are in great form. There's a chance of an upset there at 7-1, by the way. They are top of League Two. They've got 9 points. And a little omen there that I spotted, Dave. Two of their wins this season already have been against sort of seaside towns, Blackpool and Portsmouth.
I like it.
So there you go. Could they add Bournemouth to that scalp? I think I'm just going to go for both teams to score in all those three games. I see them being open. I see Accrington, Burnley, the derby element. Sunderland, I think they're shaken up, and very negative sort of comments coming from David Moyes after the game yesterday, which surprised me. And Morecambe, Bournemouth as well. I think that'll be a real ding-dong game.
That's strange, isn't it? Because even if your team's going to struggle, don't say you're going to struggle.
I don't know what message that sends to the supporters. That, you know, he's basically said, if people think it's going to change, it's not. Well, but that's what you're here for, Dave. And, you know, David, I to someone that they had Sunderland fan on Match of the Day too? So it's a nice transition. We've gone from sort of methodical, non-entertaining football under Allardyce into methodical, non-entertaining football under David Moyes. It's a smooth transition for the players. There's no brave new world, no brave new ideas. No, I think Sunderland are in trouble this year, and I think Shrewsbury will. I'm not saying that there's going to be the upset in terms of the result, but I certainly think they'll make them sweat for it. And as I say, both teams to score in those three games, I like the look of.
Sunderland, Accrington, Morecambe, both teams to score in all three games. 6.63-1 that treble. On Wednesday night. Tom, it's always a pleasure speaking to you on this podcast.
Thank you.
And I look forward to catching up with you on Thursday or Friday ahead of the Premier League football this weekend.
Yeah, looking forward to it, Dave.
Get a £5 free bet every week with Offer Club from William Hill.
Hey-o, let's go, let's go.
Simply stake a total of £20 or more across the week on pre-match football accumulators with four or more selections. And you'll get a £5 free bet on the Friday. Plus, you can get on faster and easier than ever with our new and improved mobile betting experience. Join William Hill Offer Club on mobile or online now. When the fun stops.